Hello and welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am your favorite movie from the decade that we left off this list, and I am here with...
Danny's favorite movie of the decade, which unfortunately did not make either of our lists, Dune.
What a spoiler.
It was right there. It was at my, like, yeah. It was the one at the cutoff. Like, that it was the movie that if something else was on my list, it's number 11. So, had to apologize to Danny in advance. Spoilers, though. Dune did not make either.
Dune is not, will not be discussed in this episode.
But
after
Dune
this.
Part 2 will.
Perhaps.
I'm convinced. I think it'll be a better movie.
Wow. That's saying something. So,
yeah,
high hopes.
Dune 1 is very good.
Should we
very
do the third Panic at the Disco high hopes?
High hopes!
that's a streak of three
thing.
Episodes. High hopes. Let's get quickly, before we talk about like our top 10 of the decade and everything, let's get to some of our questions of the week we had last week. We have been obviously discussing the Oscars as of late, you know, the Oscars,
I'm
our
so
predictions.
Glad to be done with awards
yeah.
season now. And moving on to the next awards season.
Moving on to the 96th Academy Awards.
It never ends.
Speaking of the 96th Academy Awards, here are some of our listeners' predictions for that show. So, we were just talking about Danny, so let's just get into his. He said, Past Lives in Dune 2 will get a ton of nominations, but be snubbed in a major category. That's what happened to Dune 1.
Okay. What was the first one? Past Lives?
I couldn't tell you. Yeah.
What is that?
I don't
that?
Know what that is. Let's see. It's got to be
past
something like.
Past Lives.
Oh, it's the A24 one.
It's in my watch list. Yes. Yes. Decent reviews coming out of Sundance. So.
Interesting.
Definitely one I can see getting snubbed.
Yes, scheduled to be released on June 2nd.
That's a good release date for it.
That's a good release date.
I think it could. This is one that's on my watch list. So
yeah, we'll see. This does seem like it could be like the. It feels like it might be like a not as big as some of the other A24. Like not in Everything Everywhere, not a Moonlight, but like Lady Bird got a decent amount, I guess. Like a couple, like not as many, but it got quite a few. And then The Farewell, I remember, got like. A few key nominations. So I feel like it might be one of those where like it slots into a few spots, but not like.
Yeah,
dominates.
Like an acting category, maybe.
Yeah, maybe directing.
Yeah, something simple.
Probably not directing, but yeah.
Speaking of Dune, Ruby said that she's going for two in a row. Mm. So if you remember in our last episode, Ruby predicted the Best Picture winner last March. So she said she's manifesting a Dune Part 2 win. So I trust Ruby's prediction over our own because we were not spot on at all.
We were not.
And I think it could happen. I think.
Yeah, that's a good. That's I've seen that also one other time on Twitter. Like today, I think I saw someone say that. So,
I think Dune Part 2 will be in a lot of the categories. Yeah. And
the return of the king of the show, you know, like
yeah,
that's what Return of the King did. I think there's not. I mean, I know there are other books, but I feel like this is the last. They're not gonna do other like Dune ones. Like it will be like
yeah,
the
I'm
Messiah,
not really sure.
But I just feel I just don't know if they're gonna market it as like the second
final.
Part in this epic, the conclusion of this epic story,
sure.
Or just like the next chapter. You know, it really depends on how they decide to. To sell it.
Wow, I can't believe that's coming out this year. That's crazy.
Yes, it is. I know, because I feel like we just saw the first one is not in distant memory.
Even though it was a couple, like 2021, it's still, I don't know, it feels longer.
It is a little odd. Any others on Spotify?
Yes, Noah Hewitt said Jonathan Majors best supporting for Ant-Man/Creed 3.
Well, which one? I think if he's gonna be one, it's gonna be Creed 3.
It's gonna be Creed. if it's one of them. I think it came out too soon, though.
That's what I think. It's like, maybe if they'd done May or something.
I think if Creed had been a summer movie, maybe. He's also in that one, though, from Sundance, that the name escaping me. But I would think the Academy would be more likely to nominate him for that one.
Yeah, that's... let me see. Okay, I don't see anything on his filmography, but I feel like I know what you're talking about. Like
there was a movie at Sundance.
But, I mean, I guess there isn't if it's not on there.
Sundance,
I feel like there's too
Majors.
Many, like, Sundance movies.
Magazine
like,
Dreams.
Magazine Dreams?
Yes. Searchlight Pictures. Aspiring bodybuilder named Killian Maddox who abuses steroids in his quest to become a sports icon.
Yeah, this looks dope. Oh, this is the guy that directed Hot Summer Nights. Remember that
one? Ooh, is that the one? That's the one Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, so that's the one that no one really liked, but it had a cool style. Taylor Page is in this.
I would be more like, I would expect the Academy to nominate for that. I would love to see a Jonathan Majors nomination in the future.
Please.
He's a two-time Secondhand Film Award winner.
He is. So he's in one of my movies we're going to talk about today. And then we had one more on Instagram. Jamie Kirsten Howard said, Jamie Lee Curtis will make her presenting award awkward, which is not even a hard prediction.
No.
She makes everything awkward, I feel like. It's just like,
Noah Hewitt also said Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse for best animated / best picture.
Ooh, that's the big one right there.
Can an animated feature get into best picture?
I just don't think they're going to nominate a part one. I think they would rather nominate part two.
I think that it will get nominated for best animated feature. I don't think it'll get best picture because I still think if any animated film gets into best picture, it'll be the Miyazaki film.
And they're not going to do two.
And there's no way that two animated
no.
films are going to get nominated for best picture. There's no way.
They're going to be so annoying about that, though. They're going to be like, guys, look how far we've come. Recognizing animation as cinema, good job to us. Everyone celebrate. I just know that they're gonna be so annoying about that. Yeah. Okay. Well, keep this episode on lock for next year. We'll pull it back out of the vault and we'll see how right everyone was. For now, let's continue just looking in the past a little bit. We are like about a third through the decade at this point, which is pretty crazy to say. But, you know, I feel like that might be a good time then to look back on the movies that have come out over the last 3 years and see what our top 10 favorites are. Because there's enough at this point where we should have at least 10 that we don't hate, right? That's the goal. So let's just do it. I mean, because we saw this, in all honesty, this was like a Twitter thing going around, but it was top 13. And it was best.
Which is such a random number.
Well, because it was like 33% done, I think. So they said like 13 for the three. I don't know. But we both tweeted that. But then we were like, well, that one was best. These ones are our favorite. So some of them switched around here because I think there's a difference sometimes between best and favorite. Whatever the best movie is might not be your favorite movie. So these are definitely going to consider less like cultural relevance and more just our personal taste. I did consider still like a little bit of like cultural stuff, but it was always still ones that I liked. It's not just ones like that was an important movie that came out, so that should be in here.
Right. Now, I did not unfortunately include any Hallmark movies.
Okay. That's a separate podcast.
Yes, though those would be considered some of my favorite probably.
Wow. Would they have, if you were considering Hallmark movies, would they have knocked any of these ones out?
I don't know. That's a good question. They might have.
I feel
have.
Like your number 9 could slot out with one of them. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's the spot where you would slot it at.
Yeah, one. Like 9 or 10, pop one in there, like a surprise movie.
Yes. I mean, I think right now your number 9 is already a surprise movie. So we'll just see. I think the fans, the listeners are going to have a good time with this one. Definitely going to be talking about a lot of different movies. We only have two crossovers. We'll be talking about 18 movies in this episode.
Which is so crazy.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like we have a lot of similar. If we were doing, like, top 25, I feel like we would have a lot of crossover.
Yes.
Like, in that mid-range.
I think in that mid-range, for sure.
But whatever rises to the top is usually pretty different. And your number one was one that I was thinking I could put into. Like you said, those last two spots are a little bit like, you know, a lot of stuff could go here. But gotta follow your heart, as I'm sure someone has said. I can't think of a...
Yes.
But someone said that a lot in the world. Let's do first our 10 through 6. So we'll go 10 through 6, and then we'll go 5 through 1. Just to kind of break it up a little bit and keep you guys on the edge of your seats. Or
are we going to go back and forth?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
We're not going to get too much into these. Most of these movies are ones that we've already talked about at length at some point.
It's been a while since we've talked about some of these, though.
Yeah, it is true. If it's one where it's like not a 2022 movie or someone we haven't talked about in a while, maybe I'll talk about it a little bit more. And more talking about just why I guess I picked it to be on the list rather than like explaining what the movie is, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into it then. Do you want to kick it off, or do you want me to?
Sure, I can kick it off. So my number 10 movie is Spider-Man No Way Home, which came out in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this is one that would be a surprise to some people or would be unsurprising to people.
It depends on the person.
The top 10. I loved this movie. I have not seen it since it came out, because
I feel like that's a good call by you.
I want to keep it sacred.
Keep it safe.
Yes. I don't want to ruin the experience I had with this movie. And so I have chosen not to rewatch it. Also, I just don't really care to rewatch it.
Will you ever rewatch it?
As a whole? Probably not. I've rewatched the Andrew Garfield
scenes. Never in your
scenes.
Life? You'll never rewatch it again
in
your
know.
Life?
I don't
know. That's
a big
statement.
At this point, I mean, I can't guarantee that. But at this point, I'm not like actively really rewatching Marvel movies.
That's true. Definitely.
Especially
not
more recent Marvel
ones.
Movies, just because they're so like waterlogged. It feels like a lot of work to rewatch.
It is a lot of work. And there's like three coming out a year, so that means like you're already watching three Marvel movies in 1 year. So I don't
know
if I
whenever the next Spider-Man movie comes out, I might rewatch it.
That's a good point. Yeah, just to refresh.
I just really liked this movie when it came out, and it was a great theater experience. It made me feel really good afterwards, and I feel like for that reason I have to like have it on this list, because even if it isn't like the best movie of the 10, I mean probably far from far from home, yeah. I felt like it's one that was like impactful for me in the 2020s, or like was one that had a memorable experience or meant something to me, so I felt like it needed to break the list, at least.
Definitely, yeah. It's the one that, like, it feels synonymous with the early 2020s at this point, for sure. Okay, cool. My number 10, we're going to back to the beginning of it all, 2020. With Defy Bloods. This was one we talked about a lot in 2019, even. This was one of our early bits, just the name of this movie,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
An early secondhand film critics bit was this movie.
We did an episode on this movie, I think.
We did.
We talked about it in an episode.
We did. Yeah, I remember, because I had to come home early from a vacation to record the episode.
Oh, that's so funny.
But yeah, this movie, I rewatched it actually last night, because I'd seen it twice around, I think once when it came out, then once around award season just for fun, even though it only got nominated for score. And I just rewatched it last night just to kind of refresh, see if it actually should be in my top 10, because it was the one I remembered the least. And yeah, it still really holds up. I think it's definitely not a perfect movie, but I think that's sometimes what makes it really cool, is it's like just a very big swing, just throw everything at the screen movie. And I think it definitely really helps when you consider the the social climate that it was released into, because it was obviously written in 2019, but then there's a lot of like footage and documentary style moments that obviously are more referencing towards the Black Lives Matter protests happening or at the time. So I think it's a really interesting like piece of art, and I think Spike Lee is just really cool for just like doing whatever, basically just doing whatever he thinks is going to be cool for the movie, even if it doesn't always work. I just like when I see something crazy he does and I'm like, well, that was cool that he tried that.
I just
that.
Remember he did the weird like aspect ratio stuff with this.
Oh, that was sick.
Like,
it was great.
I don't think I ever rewatched this. It's been a hot minute since I've seen it. But I remember that and us talking about that and there being a lot of just really weird decisions in this movie that you're like,
yeah.
Huh, that's actually
there's a lot of cool like cuts to just like real pictures of the Vietnam War documentary footage. At the end when he does like the Windows Movie Maker like scrolling like 1 year after this Dr. Martin Luther King was killed for speaking out against the Vietnam War, it's like the red Windows Movie Maker text. I don't know, there's just, I think this is just a really cool movie and I really hope it feels like a movie that should get a physical release of some kind and not get lost to Netflix, you know, because I feel like it is pretty historically poignant. Like,
is there not a Criterion release of this?
No,
I feel like
this just feels
be.
Like a movie that there should be a Criterion
like
release.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Criterion release,
and it's like one of the last two Chadwick Boseman performances that was also a big deal when it came out. So
yeah,
I just
he
feel
was
like
really good in it.
He's great. I just feel like it'd be a great, like, it's just a really cool movie. I think from this year that's come out in this decade so far, like one of the more original ones that has really stood out to me.
Yeah. Great. So
speaking of original that have stood out to you,
my number nine is, it's kind of a short film sort of. It's like I think it's like 45 minutes.
I think
something.
It's 45.
Maybe.
Yeah.
This is, it's The Small Things, Charlie Brown, which was an Apple TV. Since they own those rights, they've been kind of revamping some of the Peanuts specials, though I don't think there has been one in a bit. They were kind of doing one every few months, and I think the last one was in like September. They did like a school one.
Yeah.
So this was kind of like, man, I should watch this again. This was kind of like an Earth Day sort of special. Like, that was kind of the focus. And it was so cute. It's got some great music in it. I love what they've been doing with the animation with these, where they've sort of modernized it, but they still have these like really pretty sort of landscape background paintings with the characters in the front. This one was so cute. I'm pretty sure I cried multiple times when I watched. Did you ever watch this one?
I don't think so. I listened to the song.
The song was good. I wish
Ben Folds song.
Yeah,
maybe I'll watch it with Earth. Now it's Earth Day again because Earth Day happens annually.
So the song from it, Ben Folds did it, but there's a version in the short where the kids sing it.
Okay, I'll watch it for Earth Day this year. This will be my Earth.
Yeah,
I'll watch
and
it
that
this year.
Version I like slightly better than the Ben Folds version, but the Ben Folds version is good too. But basically, it's like there's a flower that's growing on the baseball field that Sally becomes friends with. Sally, Charlie Brown's little sister, and then there's a big baseball game that Charlie Brown. Is like, you know, he has that whole rivalry with Peppermint Patty.
Yes.
And they're like, when I have this base, so he's like, we're gonna win this baseball game and it's finally gonna happen and blah 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 blah. And then they can't play the game because Sally won't move off of the pitcher's mound because that's where this flower is. And it's this whole thing where like Charlie Brown's really mad about it, and then they kind of come together and are like, it's the small things, Charlie Brown, and then it has to. So it's kind of like about Sally, but also about Charlie Brown.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like even if Charlie Brown's in the title, it doesn't always have to be about him.
It's and all these new ones have sort of been like focusing on a different character each time.
Yeah. For those wondering at home, Earth Day is April 22nd. So
great
this year. So that's when you can pop this one on. Cool. I mean, I think I don't even think you talked about this one much on the pod, because I remember we talked about like the New Year's one, but I don't think we had talked about this one. So another reminder that those are on Apple TV, even though they don't advertise them at all.
And they're good. Like, the New Year's one was good. The Mother's Day one, I like cried so hard after watching
that
one.
As a mother myself, I was moved.
Both this one and the Mother's Day one were 4.5-star
wow
things for me.
Crazy.
So yeah, watch both of those.
Good job, Charlie Brown. All right, my number 9, and this is also your number 8, so we can kind of just combine
yeah
these, is Top Gun Maverick from 2022. Obviously, we've talked about this movie a lot over the
yes
past few months, so I don't feel like, I feel like we don't have to say too much about it. I just think it's all, it's like definitely going to be, even as the decade goes on, when we have like the full 10 years to look back on, I think this is going to be still a pretty monumental movie for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, it brought back the movies.
It saved the movies. Steven Spielberg said so. Saved the movie
yeah
industry.
Yeah, I think that this one, I don't know. There was just, I don't know if it was like that kind of like coming back to the movies and like sort of transitioning out of all the COVID like time of movies specifically.
Yeah.
That it just like was so, that made it feel so good or special.
Yeah.
But there's just something in it. Like maybe Tom Cruise puts crack in his movies.
I think he did. There's definitely crack in this movie. I think it was, yeah, the first time I felt like, not to be like, use more cliches, but like movies were back, I guess. I feel like all the other times they always tried to like push it with that message. Like they try to push movies like, oh, movies are back because Tenet's coming to theaters, or movies are back because Godzilla
versus
Kong.
That was like the least. Oh god,
movies are back
movies
because
Dune is out,
and I just think this one, it was like a really big movie that people wanted to see, and I think it helped that they weren't marketing it as like, movies are back now, guys. Let's go. Like it was a felt like a very natural growth. In like
and
a very
it
natural
was one,
love for the movie.
Two, that like we had been waiting for a long, long time, because
oh, yeah,
it got delayed
pandemic
so much because of COVID, that it was one of the first like big movies that sort of like from that time, besides that whatever James Bond movie that like did horribly.
No Time to Die. Yes.
Yes, No Time to Die. I couldn't even remember.
It wasn't
the name
that
of it.
Bad. It wasn't that bad. It was better than Spectre.
It like performed horribly though.
It did perform horribly. Yeah, this movie, and I think it's just like, it's gonna be one of, it's probably like Spider-Man No Way Home and this movie are gonna be the two from these first 2 years that people will remember, like almost like
yeah
everyone will remember, you know, like those are like the two cornerstone movies. Yeah, Top Gun Maverick, big fan. Big fan. Woohoo! Scientology. We've got my number 8 now, because that was your number 8.
Yes.
Which is Titane. This is similar to Defy Bloods, just like I think I really appreciated the boldness and the creative choices that made this movie feel really different. I had a pretty cool experience watching it for the first time too. I mean, it wasn't really that cool. Like it was just literally me going to the movies alone. So like pretty much every experience. But I feel like for some reason I really remember what like this theater experience pretty vividly, and like certain scenes. And I think it was too, because there was not a ton of people in the theater, but there was about 4 other people, and we were all kind of close. And so it was like you could kind of feel the tension between other people and like how everyone else was feeling, like they were uncomfortable too. It was just I really enjoyed watching this in the theater. I thought it was really fun. And I think it's just definitely one of the defining movies of the year. This is 2021, and one of the ones that I kind of associate with 2021 the most. And yeah, I just think it's also just feels probably out of all these movies, like the most modern movie that I've seen in the last 3 years. Like it's the movie that feels the most like it's pushing to like a new style of film rather than pulling on older things, which is fine too. But I just feel like it has a very distinct modern style to it, which is exciting in my opinion.
Sure.
Yeah. That's all I have to say for that one.
Great. So my number 7 is Operation Hyacinth.
From yes, 2021. I remember this one.
I have not rewatched this. I thought about rewatching it and then just didn't have the time. But I gave it 5 stars when I watched it the first time. So I would assume I would still at least give it, even if
like
I lowered
four.
It.
Like at least four.
4.5.
Yeah.
I can't imagine I would lower it that much. So if I did, even at all. I really liked this one. This was kind of just like a random one that no one else watched at all. I think I found it on like Robert Daniels had it on a list of his like end of the year movies and it was on Netflix and I was like, great, that sounds like something I would be interested in.
This is a Netflix movie, right? Like this is like they distributed it.
I believe it was yes, it is a foreign film.
Do they have the U.S. distribution rights, maybe?
I believe so. I think they did it as a Netflix, like, original.
Yeah.
Wow, 69. It's 6.9K nice. People have watched
nice.
This.
Yeah, not big at all. And I've never seen it on Netflix scrolling ever.
No, like, I haven't either. So, I mean, yeah. The only reason I even knew about it was, like I said, because of Robert Daniels putting it on a list. And I happened to watch it. Like, that's just kind of what happened. But yeah, I really liked this one. It's kind of like a drama. It's got some queer stuff going on in it.
LGBT rights. We're not using
yes.
Some queer stuff.
Some queer things happen.
We just
some
transported
legitimately,
back to 1970.
Legitimately queer things happen.
Yes. And I remember the actor in this being really, really good, too.
He
like,
was
that
really
was
good.
That was the thing that I remember most from this.
And a lot of the cinematography I thought was really interesting in this one. A lot of, like, dark, moody, like, noir-type lighting. Because it's kind of like a noir-ish film. Mm. Like, it's not full noir, but it has kind of elements of a noir film.
Yeah.
But yeah, if I mean, people who are listening to this have not seen this movie, but maybe add it to your lists.
Yeah. I think it wasn't totally my thing, but I think it definitely is one that like if you like this kind of movie, it's definitely one you should watch and it's like one of those that like hidden gems that you most likely haven't seen. So it's like a good opportunity to see another movie that you might not have ever heard of before. You know, it's not even long though. It's like 1 hour 40. So it's a good time. Pop it on Netflix. All right. Number 7 for me is Minari from 2020.
Mm.
This is also a fantastic movie. Our secondhand film award best picture winner was
this
Minari
was on my
short year.
List.
This is also one that, similarly to Defy Bloods, that I really remember like feeling like I don't know, like it really feels like a 2020 movie to me, not in a bad way, but just like because I'd been wanting to watch it, I think, even before the pandemic. Like this is one that had gotten a lot of buzz beforehand, and it was hard to find places to watch it, and I ended up watching it on
through 824.
No, I think I watched it illegally.
I
bought it after, guys.
I watched it illegally as well. Well, because it was so hard to access.
It was so hard. It was so hard. I watched the
did,
screener.
Like, those screening room things.
But that were limited.
Like, but they
and
were limited,
like, why are
so
you
couldn't
limited?
Like get tickets to them. This movie was very inaccessible for a little while,
and
which I think built up the hype around it
did,
too.
It did. And like the illegal copy I watched was also like kind of blurry. I still loved it anyway. And then I watched it again before the awards, and now I own it. So I paid for it, guys. So I feel like I've done it. I've done my fair share.
You've done,
I rented
you've
it.
Paid your dues.
And bought it. But it just feels like such like an exciting movie, and like really reminds me of that time where like obviously everything in the world was awful, but like just trying to
this
find things to take your mind
good.
Off stuff.
Yeah.
Like, finding how to watch Minari illegally.
I still listen to this score like on the regular.
I have the my mom for some reason, I didn't even ask for this, but she got me like the screenplay
oh,
for Christmas.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's cool cuz like
they has some of the score, doesn't it have some music in it too?
It has some of that, and then it also is like half of it's written in English and then on the other page is written in Korean. So it's like everything's written in both. Sick. So it's a little thicker. I don't know. It's pretty, and it's a nice shade of green. It's a great, like, both that one and Lady Bird I have. They're great, like, coffee table books. They look really nice.
Yeah, anyway. The color palette of this movie, on point.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Stephen Young. What a king.
Love
what
him.
A legend. Now he's back, and now he's in the Marvel machine, but we got him for we got him for a couple movies, you know. We got him for this one. What is that kid doing? That kid that was in Minari.
Alan Kim.
What is he up to?
He's in that A24 movie with Elsie Fisher.
Oh right. When is that coming out? That's gotta be soon.
Is that this year?
That's gotta be this year. That was let's see. Latchkey
he did some.
Kids.
He also did some TV work. I follow him on Instagram because he posts great things.
In January, okay, he was also cast last year in If, the John Krasinski movie.
Yes,
which was like
he was. He was also in that movie, the theater camp movie that just like screened at Sundance.
Oh, okay.
The new Ben Platt movie.
Yes. Do you know this guy has a first degree black belt in Taekwondo? This kid.
Yes, he does. He's very cool.
What a cool guy.
He's also a big Nintendo fan.
Yes, I remember that. Didn't he remember when he had a Switch at the Oscars?
Yes.
That was the best. It was like the Oscar pre-show. He had a Switch on the back. Ah, I loved this kid. Anyway, that's my number 7. So now we are on 6s, and then we'll go ad break, and then we'll do our top 5.
Yes. My number 6 is the Banshees of Inisherin.
The Gwiddies of Inisherin.
The Gwiddies of Inisherin.
Literally Gwiddy and Inisherin, I know.
I mean, we've talked this film to death over the past few months. I just rewatched it a week ago, and it's so good. I the whole time I was watching it, I was just like, damn, this screenplay should have won.
It should have, yeah.
It should have won.
Anything should have. What won original screenplay?
Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, yeah. Well, some people, this should have definitely beat that. I also find this movie to be very relaxing. Like, it's a surprisingly, relaxing vibe.
Because when I was watching it, I was like, damn, this movie is depressing as hell. But then I was like, I don't know, it's kind of a vibe, though.
It's just a vibe. Like, and stuff just happens.
Like,
and it's
if
just
you
like,
were to explain the plot to somebody, they would be like, what the heck? But then, like, this is a soft comfort movie for you, but then you watch it and you're like, yeah, this is really nice and chill.
When are they gonna, they should adapt this to a play, I think. That would be really
cool. Play.
And I think, there's not a ton of locations, so I think
I'm
they could
really,
like,
hoping they make a Criterion.
They got to. This movie screams Criterion.
I feel like they got to. I also just, I'm gonna wait a little bit because I was gonna buy the Blu-ray, but the Blu-ray cover sucks. The Blu-ray sucks. And
well,
so
the
I was
cover
like,
isn't that. I mean, it's just like the regular poster they use, right? Like
no,
them standing there.
No.
No. Oh, that.
No.
I've seen one at Best Buy. That's the one of them standing there. Which one did you
maybe
see?
Maybe I need to go to Best Buy.
But it still doesn't have any bonus features at all. It's literally just the movie.
Yeah, and which is not worth it to me.
Can we just throw in like a featurette or something? Just give me something here.
Anything?
For...
Yeah, so I'm hoping for a Criterion release. But I did just buy the vinyl of the score.
Nice.
So I pre-ordered that. I'm very excited.
Yes. Yeah, this is, I think, definitely a movie that in, like, 10... I think people are going to continue to talk about, like, and probably rediscover and be like, why didn't this win more or anything actually at the Oscars.
I think it'll definitely be one of those where you look back and you're like, wait a second.
How the heck did
Banshees
not win anything?
How did Everything Everywhere beat
Everything Everywhere will also be talked about for a long time, but I think this one will be also like people just I think it should have
I
won
think
something.
For screenplay though.
The fact
for
that
screenplay...
it won nothing is insane. Insane.
Yeah.
A travesty. Number 6 for me, another movie we've talked to death is The Batman. Just a great movie, you know. There's not a real big reason why I picked it, but it's just a great movie.
Just good
and
vibes.
It's just I think it's one of the best blockbusters, if not the best blockbuster that has been released in the last, in this decade so far. Like, I think it's just,
yeah,
it does its job really well of being a blockbuster while also being able to kind of like have a lot of depth to it and interesting things to talk about and revisit.
It's a great movie. I need to watch it again.
I've seen it 3 times and I could watch it again, and it doesn't feel long.
I've seen it twice and I can watch it again. It doesn't feel long to it. It is a long movie, which is crazy.
This is also a relaxing movie, I feel like. This movie is also kind of like just a vibe that you can throw on.
I'm really excited for the sequels to this. I'm really hoping that we get a Robin introduced.
Please.
That would be, I would love to see a Robin.
Who's your casting for Robin?
I don't know. I would need to think about it. I don't know. I'd really have to be a good Robin.
Would it have to be a younger Robin? Like, are
you
going younger?
I think Robin would have to be a little younger. I'm thinking like late teens, early 20s Robin.
What about, like, what the heck is that kid's name from the,
or even younger,
Percy Jackson, from the Percy Jackson thing?
The main kid?
Yeah, who is his name?
Walker Scobell.
I think he could be.
I feel like he's too funny. I feel like he's too chaotic.
But I think I mean, I don't know how good he is as an actor, but I feel like in Adam Project he showed some range in there, and so I think if the director is good, and like Matt Reeves is, I think, a pretty good director, I feel like he could get the kind of performance that he needed out of him. But I would have to see like an audition tape. But I just think that might be an option, and I think his like, Robin is supposed to be a little more energetic, but I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't fit in the world. There's a lot of things
maybe
to consider.
I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to think about it. But I just think Matt
Alan
Reeves,
Kim, come on, get him in there.
I think that he make, you know, maybe the kid from Ghostbusters.
Oh, podcast?
Logan,
yes.
Kimchi.
I love that kid. I have the pop figure that you got me. I have it on my bookshelf right now.
It doesn't really stand up.
You gotta kind of twist the head, because he has like a big headset on. So you gotta kind of twist it to the side so he doesn't fall forward. But it works. It works.
He would be a good Robin.
Yeah. He's probably, how old is he now? Because they filmed that pretty long ago. So
probably like 16, I would guess.
Yeah, and aren't they coming out with a new Ghostbusters this year?
Uh-huh. I think it's supposed to come out in December.
Is Finn Wolfhard still in that?
I hope not. Maybe he went off to college.
Oh, yeah. Logan Kim. He is... It doesn't say. But he looks like he's definitely old enough. Oh, wait. Famous birthdays. He's 16 years old. Yep. There we go. Hey, yeah, that's a good call. All right. Let's go to a quick ad break. And then when we come back, we will run through our top fives, which is probably what most people are interested in when they clicked on this.
We're back
to read our top fives, what you've all been waiting for. What will be our number one? Stick around to find out. All right, what's your number five here?
My number five is Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. The Puss, he made it into the top five.
He made it.
Congratulations. Yes, congratulations. A great movie. I've talked about it quite a bit recently, so I don't need to like completely go into it. But I thought the animation, was really obvious. Everyone talks about the Spider-Verse animation and how it kind of opened up the door to other animation styles. But I think that this one did a lot of other interesting things that Spider-Man didn't do, or kind of ran with some of the concepts that Spider-Man sort of started or introduced to the scene, and like how they utilized those concepts was really interesting to me.
Well, and also in a movie that is, I think, more associated with like younger kids, like, or like more of a kids movie. Spider-Man still has a bit of a teen like draw. Puss in Boots, I feel like it's very geared towards a younger audience, more so than Spider-Man. So
yeah, like just I feel like DreamWorks in general kind of is that way. I think that this one, you know, like specifically in those like action sequences and stuff like that, they use a lot of really cool techniques. But I think also, like, even in the other stuff, it looked really good. It was funny. I thought the screenplay was really good. I thought the voice acting was good, minus John Mulaney, because he wasn't acting. So it is what it is. But yeah, this is one that I'll definitely be revisiting, get the Blu-ray for.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's out.
And it's on Peacock now, so you can watch it and feel all the feelings and laugh all the laughs and appreciate the animation.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it had got a pretty good business at the box office, but I feel like there's still probably a lot of people that didn't get to see it. So good one to throw on, especially if you have kids, you know. Not like 4-year-olds, but like 8 and 7.
Yeah,
or
there's some maybe scarier elements in it.
Yeah, but I think that's fine. Like, there should be like animated movies also for like a little geared for older kids, right? They shouldn't all be geared for like the Minions age, where it's like all movies are Minions until like you get to your like 12, and then it's like you go to like, I don't know, there should be just more of a transition phase is what I'm saying.
Yeah, more of like a middle grade,
right?
Like something in between. I agree. I think that this hits that spot pretty well.
Yeah, similar to like Studio Ghibli, I think, would be like a movie like this. Yeah. It was like that middle grade thing. Okay, so my number 5 is The Fabelmans, another movie that came out last year, another movie we've talked about quite a bit. I just think this is also going to be a movie that kind of goes to define a lot of this. Like, I don't know, like a lot of the older director filmographies, because I think we're getting towards the end here of like that generation of directors really like churning out a lot of classics. I also think Killers of the Flower Moon has the potential to do this too, where it's like gonna known as like one of like the last big swings that these directors took. Not that I think that they won't make good movies after this, but I just think those are this and then that movie are gonna be two like really big swings, and like they really push them in as like passion projects. I think this movie, other than being just like really interesting and like a cool insight into Steven Spielberg's life, I think it also is just like a great movie about art in general and being an artist, making art, and also like the family struggles that go with that. And I really enjoyed it. You know, I think this was one of my favorite movies. Like, I watched it in theater last year because I thought it was really cool to see how many people were in there for a movie that, if you didn't know what, like, that it was Steven Spielberg, I think you would go to the movie and feel like it's a pretty small, like, small scale story, right? But a lot of people showed up for it because had Steven Spielberg as like the main selling point. And so I think it was really cool that they got, I know it didn't do great business, but at least when I got to see it, it was cool to see it in like a bigger, more full theater. And I will definitely want to watch it again. I've only seen it once. And again, I don't think they're going to change it, but that cover is bad. Like the cover of the kid, of him running with all like, it looks like one of those, like when they have like the Oscar nominated shorts and they try to like fit them all in like a collage. That's what it looks like, that cover, with like all the collage of all the things. And like, who designed it? I need to know. And this one, I feel like they're just not going to ever change the cover though. So I'll probably just have to suck it up and buy that one. So yeah.
My number 4 is The Batman. Which we already talked about, so I don't really need to say anything else about it, but it's there, it's great, I love it.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
The Batman. So those are our two crossovers, our Top Gun and The Batman. Two blockbusters from 2022.
Which is pretty funny.
I would say if I was, we'll say this to the end, but there was one other one that I could have crossed over with you, but we'll say that to the end. All right. My number 4 is Inside from 2021. A lot of people will probably push back and say this is a comedy special. I disagree, but that's fine because this is a podcast, so you don't have to like agree with everything I say, right? This is my list.
You can do whatever you want. I mean, I included a short film, so.
Right. This is my list. You guys listening can make your list. As far as, I mean, personal enjoyment, I think this is a really great, not only like piece of entertainment, but also time capsule of a moment. But I also think it is a cool like way to historically document like what it was, what it felt like to live during the early couple 2 years of 2020, like definitely 2020, and also I feel like a little bit 2021, like what that felt like, not even in just like being really specific about what was happening, like, because I know there's a lot of films or documentaries that have really captured like the actual stuff that happened in the pandemic, like the protests and mask mandates, like just like there's been stuff that has been already made about that that is really specifically about that, but I feel like this captured just the feeling of that time more than just like the surface level, like, oh, remember when we were watching Tiger King, and then remember when the protests were happening. Like, it just is, it does a good job of setting itself apart a little bit by still capturing that feeling, but I think that makes it live be a little bit more timeless, because I think it captures the feeling, but it doesn't feel like it's outdated when you watch it, because it's still a pretty poignant message, and also more just in general about like nihilism and living in like the age of postmodern and internet age stuff. Like, I just think it's a really interesting movie, especially how he was able to like market it as a comedy special and kind of flip that on its head a little bit. Also, the bloopers are also really good, like the outtakes, that's also very funny. And I think not a lot of people know, like, say that, but I feel like even the outtakes is a different thing, but it almost is like a movie in itself, because it uses like different tropes of bloopers and outtake stuff, and it makes its own movie. So I think like just this project as a whole is just a really cool project that came out of the decade so far that I really enjoyed. So yeah.
Nice.
And also had a pretty big cultural impact, I think, beyond just,
yeah, it was
like
big
film
on
Twitter.
TikTok.
Yeah.
Cool. So
top three.
My number three is Another Round from 2020. This movie is great. We just talked about it recently because I was like, I need to revisit that movie. I've been thinking about rewatching it recently because it's just so good. I think this is one of those that it feels of that time, like, you know, like you've talked about how those movies feel very 2020. This feels like a very 2020 movie.
Yeah.
It feels like one of those movies that, like, I don't know, like, it, I hope that people, like, I've seen people still occasionally talk about this movie, but I hope it holds up, like, longer, that, like, people can talk about it 5-10 years down the road and kind of, like, revisit it. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things that I like about this. I think the performances were really good. Obviously, Mads Mikkelsen's great in most things that he does, so you know that it's going to be good either way. But I think this movie had a lot... It was weird because, like, it was almost, like, right before the pandemic, right? Like, wasn't it right before the pandemic?
I'd only heard about it afterward, but I don't know, like... I wasn't really
because
keeping
it came
tabs
out.
On it, so.
It came out, yeah, and then, like, but I feel like it's one that like came at a specific, like, spoke to a lot of specific things, that like were things or feelings or whatever that people were experiencing around this time with the pandemic and everything, because it sort of like speaks to grief. It speaks to. I don't know, like a change of pace in life or like feeling certain things at a certain point in your life where you're like, is this really all there is? And I think the pandemic led to a lot of those kind of same like emotions and feelings where your life is kind of jarred by something. And then you're like, well, maybe I should rethink my like entire adulthood or like find a change of pace or find something different. And I think that this speaks to a lot of those things in a really, like, unique and interesting way that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah. It's a good movie about a midlife crisis that doesn't feel like a movie about a midlife crisis, I guess. You know, like, it doesn't fall into a lot of the same tropes that midlife crisis movies can.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a very, like, non-American way of looking at a midlife crisis, which is refreshing.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. This definitely feels like a 2020 movie, just, like, the feeling of even just thinking about it. Like, 2020, I think because it was such a specific time, all movies that came out in 2020 to me have, like, a different feel.
A very specific feel to them, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, my number three, I have two words for you. Bronco Henry, the legend himself, coming in to take the number three spot, the power of the dog.
I was thinking about this movie literally just yesterday. That's so funny.
Wow. Wow. What a great thing to be thinking about. This is, I think, an amazing movie, in my opinion. I think it feels very classic, but also it has a lot of modern energy to it that doesn't like take you out of the movie, but it enhances the movie and makes it more of 2021 than like if you watched a movie that was taking place during this time that was made like 20 years ago. Like if you took the same story and you tried to make the adaptation 20 years ago, I think it would just feel different because you can feel like the different sexual politics, the different, I don't know, like the LGBTQ plus undertones to the whole story. It feels a lot different than if it was made later. And I think it makes it stand out in a certain way, in my opinion. And I love all the performances as well in this movie. I think all four main performances are like knockouts. It's a little sad that it kind of is turning into like one of those Oscar movies that no one thinks about after the Oscars, you know, similar to like Nomadland, or like that's another recent example. I think both of these have kind of become that movie, maybe even Coda a little bit too. Like, when was the last time people talked about Coda? I don't know. So I'm a little sad it's kind of turned into that. I'm glad it got a Criterion release because I think that will be good for longevity. People hopefully getting a chance to watch it later down, maybe not even realizing it.
Yeah, that, and so that doesn't like get lost Netflix. Again to the Netflix, which we've talked about.
Yeah, Netflix like it definitely sphere. Feels like it could happen. This movie, it could happen to this movie that it kind of just gets pushed down the list, and no one really thinks about it again. So I'm glad it has that at least physical production of it, but I still think it kind of got pigeonholed a little bit too early as Oscar bait, and I think it's way smarter than an Oscar bait movie than that. But I think it just got pigeonholed as Oscar bait really early on, and that kind of killed its chances of being taken more seriously. So,
you know what I like about this movie?
What?
The cowboys. I like cowboy movies.
Yeah, and I think it's
cowboy
like,
hats. I like the horses. I like the vibe.
It does a great job of being still a cowboy movie and also kind of commenting on like the toxic masculinity of that kind of group of people or like that lifestyle. But it's still, they're still like cowboys. You know what I mean? I don't know like how to say it, but it still feels like you get all the good cowboy stuff. You get the good outfits, but it's shot in a way, or like the scenes are written in a way that you kind of get that subtext, those undertones. But it still feels like a cowboy movie. Like they're still like on the ranch. They're going on rides on the horses. They're getting down and dirty in the dirt. I think this is just a really good movie. Really well done movie.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Last
two. What's gonna be?
So my number two. This is kind of cheating, but maybe not.
I think it's not cheating.
So this is Morona's Fantastic Tale, which came out internationally in Fests in 2019, but it was a US release in 2020, and I included it on my 2020 features ranked. So I felt like it had to be included in this list. This was another one that just I randomly found. I was hoping that this last year it would happen again and I would randomly find a movie, but unfortunately that was not the case. But I this was like on someone's list of movies from the year, and I was like, oh, this is on Hoopla, I'll watch it. And then I like cried my eyes out through the whole entire movie. And so it ended up being my favorite of the year, because I like movies that can make me very sad. This one is another animated film, so I'm really locked and loaded on the animated films. Yes. Here. But this is a French animated film, so it has kind of a different animation style, and actually features, like, even within, like, the different style, there's, like, a couple different styles within the one style. Yeah. Like, you can tell that it's created by the same person, or, like, from the mind of the same person, but, like, the art styles sort of shift as... Yeah. Because it's basically about a dog who goes to live with, like, it goes through the dog's life of multiple owners, essentially. And so as the owners kind of change, the way that they function in the world through animation sort of, like, changes based on the character. Which I think is really interesting. This is one that I wish got talked about more, or, like, watched more and recognized more. Except for kind of in, like, some more obscure animation festivals. Like, I wish it had gotten more traction, like, broadly known or widely known. Yeah, it's really good. I've rewatched it, and it's still held up on rewatches. It still made me cry. Mm. I love the score. I think it's a really sweet and sad movie.
Yeah. Yeah, no one talks about it, like you said, so let's... Hopefully,
no one talks about Morona, unfortunately.
Come on, Morona. what's going on? All right, my number two is this like 3-2-1. I had a five-star movie all 3 years, just like one five-star movie. So this is just all three of those. So like Power of the Dog was my five-star movie from 2021, and The Assistant at number two is my five-star movie from 2020. Yeah, this is, I've talked about this movie a lot before, like 2 years ago when it came out, but it has been a little while since then, I guess, so people might not, if they haven't listened since then, they might not have heard of like this a lot. I feel like it was, they were planning on giving this a bigger like awards push, or just a bigger push in general, and for some reason, like, it just didn't get that. Maybe, was Promising Young Woman 2020? Was that 2020?
Right? I think,
or
that
2021?
Yeah, 2020.
2020, yeah. I feel like maybe that took... Because that is not the same story, but it is a similar kind of, like, subject matter. And so maybe they just were like, we can't have two of the same kind of movies. I don't know, because it got a lot of praise at festivals, which is why it was kind of on my radar. And then all of a sudden, I saw it was just on Hulu. And I was like, oh, I remember hearing about this movie, and it's pretty short, and I'm tired, so this seems like a good watch right now. And I think it is just such an incredible movie, mostly for the way of how it uses, like sound design and the editing to get you inside, like, the character's world. Feels very claustrophobic in a non, like, intrusive way. Like, it kind of sneaks up on you, the claustrophobia of everything. Not a ton of dialogue, not like the most gripping plot line, but in a way it is, because it's like in its mundanity it kind of makes it feel more extreme, kind of I'm not gonna say the name because I like cannot, but that, you know, the one that got, not like, said it was like the best movie ever made, the French one of like the woman cleaning her house. I think it's like similar, it's like in that kind of vein where it's like in the mundanity it kind of creates like, it makes you more, everything that happens more intense, because it's like anything out of the ordinary that happens that's not like just a regular thing kind of feels like a bigger deal than it would usually. And yeah, I think this is just a really great movie of like a show don't tell version of this kind of story, and it doesn't really like beat you over the head with like themes or like what it wants to say. It just kind of lets the movie speak for itself, and I think the filmmakers did a really good job of making like a really tightly directed made movie. And I think more people should watch it. They only made a DVD version of this, which is still one of the most sad things in my opinion. There's only a DVD. So It remains
That's
on Hulu.
Disappointing.
Hulu is also like even more than Netflix. If your movie was released on Hulu, like primarily, it's gone. It doesn't actually exist anymore, I think. Like Hulu, it just like it's a black void. They're like, all right, this movie's gone now. Like if you go to search movies on Hulu, it's always just like the ones that they have for a couple months. It's never a lot like Minding the Gap. That's on Hulu, right? That was like a big Hulu original. Yeah. But like they never pushed like any of those kind of movies. And so
yeah, it's really hard to find stuff on Hulu. I think Amazon Prime too.
Yes. Oh, Amazon Prime is a wasteland.
One where movies go to die. They get buried.
Yeah, you can't. You cannot try looking like for movies on Amazon Prime. It's impossible to find anything that's not like you already know about.
Which is crazy because they have so much content, but it's like you can't find the content because their interface.
That's just
sucks
Amazon in general. Like even like Amazon.com. So many things, but I can't find anything because it's their website is so confusing in their app. So.
Yes,
they just need to hire
I agree.
Someone else to like clean it up and modernize it. All right, number ones. What's it gonna be?
Number one. So if you've been listening, you could probably guess what our number ones are at this point. If you've been listening to the show for a while.
Yeah.
And know
definitely
what
yours
movies
if like
are
they've
missing
been listening for a while for
from
you.
From this list. My number one is Luca. Disney's Pixar film. This is one that the more I watched it, the better it got.
Yeah.
It like I think it had started at maybe like a 4-star for me, and then it just kept knocking up every time.
Kind of like Knives Out. Like that feels like that. What happened with Knives Out?
Yeah. Like you rewatch it, and it's a 5-star film for me now. And I, again, with the score, I listen to it on the regular, like
on the reg.
Yeah, I love this movie. I think that it's short, it's sweet, it's a great animation. I think it should have been nominated.
It wasn't nominated at all?
For best
animated?
No.
This is the best Pixar movie that they've released this decade.
Remember they nominated, what was the other, Soul that year?
Oh, but I thought they nominated both. Man, that was a crime.
And then, well, and then Luca, I'm pretty sure it was not nominated. It also, like, remember, was, like, relegated to streaming release only.
Yes.
And, like, didn't get the theatrical release.
It was nominated. It was nominated. So it got the nom. It was.
Okay. I didn't think it got nominated.
So that's one good thing, you know, it got the recognition at least for the nomination.
Either way though, like I think this one just like, it really did not get what it deserved in terms of like recognition in general. Like I feel like Disney and Pixar kind of were just like, oh, Luca, and threw it on a back burner and it like just kind of came out on Disney Plus and that was it.
I think kids really like this though. Like I think it has a lot of kids still really like this movie, in my opinion.
The kids that I nanny hate this movie.
Really?
They think
it's horrible.
I saw
an interview with Jack Grazer, that's his name. I don't know.
Yeah.
And like he was talking about how a lot of people, like kids will always just, every like time he goes out, will come up to him and ask him to do the Silencio Bruno thing, which I think is like really cool. Like I think I'm hopeful that this generation will continue to like push this movie on, because I mean Disney Plus is good at pushing their like high budget content, and so I think this is something that will continue to be on the front page when they go to people who search animated movies or whatever. So I'm hoping, you know, it will have the legs to push through.
Yeah, and it did really well on TikTok. That's kind of the key these days, is if your movie does well on TikTok, then you've done it.
True.
But yeah, this is one that like I just think is really good. I think it's a movie that at face value is just really fun. I think it's got a lot of great, interesting elements in it that are fresh and exciting, but also has a familiar storyline of a coming of age film, kid trying to find himself, make something of himself. But I also love that it's very simple of like, he just wants to ride a Vespa and be a boy.
He
and
does.
It's like very cute.
Yeah. It does a good job of like, it has a simple plot, but there are like subtext under it, which is what we are kind of annoyed with Pixar at this time and still kind of are. It's like their stories were getting so complex and the ideas were getting so complex, where it's like the ideas in this, I think, can still be complex, but it's fundamentally just a very simple story that kids can actually enjoy, you know?
Yeah, I agree. This got equated a lot to Ghibli films, both in vibe and in that sense, where it's like there is a lot of deeper stuff underneath, but also it's like you can just watch it and have a good time, which I think is why Miyazaki's so good at directing children's films, is because it feels like a children's film, but also it doesn't feel like a children's film. Like, you can watch it and get a lot out of it as an adult, or like really enjoy it. And I think that this hits all the points it needs to succeed in that.
Yes, definitely.
And it's also great. Yeah. It's a good vibe.
It is great. It is, I think, just a very well-made movie, like top to bottom. Like, when you watch it, it feels just like really solid. And I think the performances are good. The story's good. This is the one that could have made my list too, like easily. Definitely could have been in there. Because this is definitely, I think, probably my favorite animated movie so far of the decade.
Of the decade. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
obviously,
mine
too. It's yours too. I mean, it's your favorite movie. So by proxy, has to be your favorite animated.
Yes.
All right. My number one, there's not really like any deep reason for this. Like some of the other ones, I was like, it feels like very of the time, or feel like this is just because this is the most exciting movie that I watched this in the decade so far. Is Babylon the most recent movie I think on this list? Yeah, like I have other 2022 movies, but this is the one that came out the most recently. So maybe it's recency bias. Who knows? But I honestly think this is like the most the movie that I have liked the most that I've seen this decade. It was a great theater experience. It was one that I think I probably won't forget. Like, I will definitely equate this a lot with, like, early decade, like, movie watching, like, in my early 20s, I think. It was just, like, such an impactful theater experience. I think for some reason, like, I thought it was going to be good, but there were so many people saying it wasn't going to be good when I went to see it, and I'm glad I saw it like at least early enough so it wasn't even more, but there was a lot of unknown, so I really didn't know what to expect. They'd only released that one trailer, which I didn't really love, and so I think it was that fact too, where like I was expecting to like it, but I don't think I didn't really know what to expect story wise tone wise like it was a very rare moment where it's like, now it's hard to go into a movie without knowing kind of what to expect at least a little bit in terms of mood and story and performances, you know. But this is one that like truly surprised me. And I was on the edge of my seat for the entire 3 hours. And I think it will definitely be one that I'll watch a lot going forward. So I got the Steelbook on pre-order, supposed to come next week. So can't wait. We'll be rewatching, because I never got to I wanted to go to the theater after, but like it was like literally 2 days after this I got COVID, and then by the time I could have gone back to the theaters, they pulled it, and I was like, wow, that's great. Damn. Love that. Thank you theaters. But I think in a similar way, not the same as Banshees, because this didn't really get the same awards love, but I do think people will kind of look at this back at this movie and wonder why it was so critically like lambasted, you know, because I think it is a movie that takes a lot of chances, does a lot of interesting things, even if maybe you don't like every choice it makes. I think it at least is like making choices and taking risks, and also just being really earnest, which I think is something that a lot of movies are scared to do right now, is like be actually earnest on screen. Because for some reason, people today don't like to show like real emotion, I feel like, are scared of showing real emotion in their movies. That's why I like Top Gun. That's why I like this movie. That's why I like Power of the Dog, The Fablemans. I feel like they really stick out right now, because there's so many movies that tend to pull back on showing, like wearing their heart on their sleeve a little bit, and they kind of keep using the metaphor. They pull down the sleeve. They pull it down. But I feel like I really appreciate when a movie kind of puts it all on the line and just is like, we want to make the coolest movie we can, and we're just gonna, whatever, we don't really care like what the critics are gonna say, we don't care what other people are gonna think, as long as it's like, if we're just gonna make the thing we want to make no matter what. And also Defy Bloods, that's why I like that, because they really feel just like true pieces of art that were made by real people in a group of real people, rather than like people that were really considering like, well, you know, what we got to consider the awards, what are the older voters going to think, what are the people going to think, will this make the money back at the box office, which maybe is a smart way to make movies, but it's definitely not a fun way to make them, and it doesn't really make them any more interesting to watch.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is our list, our 1 through 10. I kind of went here and like got all the years, like how many movies we put for each year. 2020 was 5, 2021 was 6, and 2022 was 7. So every year we add one more. Maybe
2023. This is which movies will get knocked out of the decade? I feel like I need to make a list.
That's a good question. Yeah, like what movies do you think at the end of this decade are gonna stick?
Yeah,
because we still got 7 years, so yeah, it's like, because
let's say we add two movies every year, I feel like would be the
yeah.
I don't know.
14 movies. So let's say one movie every year. So that means we can only keep 3. So do you think your top 3 are going to stay? Like in the list at least?
I don't know.
I feel like
that's a good question. I feel like I need to make it a letterboxed list so I can.
Yes, I definitely will too, and like add to it
so I can keep track.
It's a great idea. Yeah, I think my top 3 are the only ones that I think that I'm pretty sure will stay. Everything else, I think there are other things that definitely could come along and bump them out, right? But all my top 3 are all 5-star movies. So unless, the only way, I guess, is if there's like 8 5-star movies released in the next 7 years that I all like more, I guess, or something, then one of them will get knocked out. But I think so far, it's been a pretty, not a bad decade.
It's so hard to say, just because like you never know. And I think this year there's some pretty great movies that are going to be coming out, hopefully.
There are. But overall, I agree that, like, I think last year was the best year of the decade so far. And, like, it's gotten better every year. Maybe 2020, think, just because, like the association with
that. I don't
know. But
like, a lot of people, I think, we've been saying for a while that we think movies are just getting better and better. And a lot of other people are kind of like, oh, we need to go back to X year because that was when movies were good. And it's like,
because they're thinking of like 3 movies. They have 3 movies in their head and they're like, oh, this is when movies were good. Where it's like, well, it's only 3 movies. Like, did you watch all the other movies that came out in 1975? Because I guarantee there were some not good movies.
Like the last few years, even 2019, I would say 2018 was kind of a semi-strange movie year for movies. 2017 was a great year for movies.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's definitely one that people talk about a lot.
And 2016, I think, was like not as good as 17, but like a little bit, like towards the end of 2016, it felt like part of that. 2019 was a banger year.
But I definitely feel like 2019 was a great year. I just feel like movies are, like, we're in a good phase of movies, if that makes sense.
Phase four.
Well, phase 5 now.
Oh, right. You're right. Oh, my mistake.
No, but I do think that we're in a good place for movies. And I think we are worried about it with the pandemic and kind of like, where are movies going to end up? I don't know. Like, there was a lot of uncertainty about the film industry. And I think that this year, this past year, especially 2022, really proved that, like, there's a lot of great things to come in the future. And I feel like there's a lot of really cool innovations being made. Like, it almost feels like you get to a point where you're not really sure that movies can progress far. It's like, how do movies progress
farther?
How could
people do anything else?
Yeah. But it feels like in the past year alone, like just last year, we saw so many cool, like, I mean, the stuff with Avatar specifically, and then you look at like the stuff they did with Top Gun, and
the
animation. With Puss in Boots and the bad guys, and
I
like
sent
Pinocchio.
You that I don't know if it was a tweet or something, but like how the Fablemans used like that whatever the Mandalorian uses, you know? So, like, kind of technology with, like, the, what is that called? Like, eye something? I don't know. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Because only, I'm actually surprised they used it because it's very,
Stagecraft.
There's only a couple of things that have been able to use it, and it's mostly like Star Wars projects and other big budget. Like Percy Jackson is one of the first shows that's using it outside of like Marvel and Star Wars and all that. So that is a very cool innovation.
Yes.
And then combine that with Avatar and what they're doing with CGI.
I think it proves that, like, you can use it for other things, too, not just, like, a sci-fi show. Like, you like it can help create larger worlds no matter what kind of movie you're making. I agree. I think movies are in a great place. I think people, like, get scared about, like, oh, but what if not every movie gets a wide release and can get a bunch of money? We're like, yeah, probably that's going to be true. Probably in 10 years, like, a movie like Minari won't be released in theaters, but it will still be made, you know? And is that, like, I'd rather something still be made than not be made, you know? Like, and we'll still get great movies, and phases come and go as phase five. And I think we're definitely on a downward trend with Marvel movies, so it might be interesting to see, like, what the next thing
is. I think we're on an upward path for everything else. It will be interesting to see what the next thing is. I have no idea. Something's got to take over the trend here. Maybe DC is DC.
Now. Judging by the Shazam 2 box office numbers,
Tom Cruise loved The Flash.
He did love The Flash. He said it's what movies need.
Which is so funny. I don't know.
Are criminals in movies. That's what the movies need.
I'll see what... Well, I mean, that's nothing new. Let's be real. I'll be interested to see where movies go in this. The rest of the decade.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe your question of the week should be what your favorite movie of the decade so far is. Do you think that's maybe like, what is your favorite movie of the decade thus far? So that includes 2020, 2021, 2022, and I guess this year, maybe you really liked Scream 6.
Knock at the Cabin.
Knock at the Cabin. I mean, honestly, the one that came out this year that could have made my list, like, made probably the top 20 would be Infinity Pool. And I think Infinity Pool would make some people's top 10 lists for sure. I guess we'll see. I'll be interested to see what movies come out this year that maybe knocks him out of the top 10.
Wonka.
Best Picture winner Wonka. Maybe
Best Picture winner Wonka.
Next week we will watch John Wick 4 and it will actually be our new number one of the decade.
Only
way to find out is if you listen to the podcast next week for our review of John Wick 4. Yeah.
Wow. I could not imagine that making either of our top 10 lists, but no, I guess you never know.
This is 0% chance.
You never know.
We did make, what was it? We did review all three of
these
movies.
We have done a John Wick episode. We've never seen John Wick because we hadn't seen any of them when the third one came out. You can listen to that maybe.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, not sure the quality, you know, but I'm not sure if I stand behind everything I said. I don't. I haven't listened to it in 2 years, but we did make that, so maybe it will give you kind of an idea of what we kind of feel about John Wick, which is probably not hard to guess, but we're not, like, huge fans.
We aren't huge fans, but we're not fan. Like, we're not anties of
Yeah, exactly.
This.
Like, I don't want it not to be made.
Like,
I just don't know if, like,
yeah, it's not
it
my favorite franchise, or even close to, but it's one that I didn't mind watching the movies. You know what I mean? Like, it's one that I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But
well, there's
like
aspects that I can appreciate about all of them, and I'm sure that'll be the same with this
and
movie.
I would like to see the series, whenever the hell that series is coming out, about the underground world. That's one that I actually would have probably been more apt to watch than John Wick 4, but I have no idea if that's even still happening.
Who knows, but this is happening. We will see it, and we will be back next week with our thoughts on John Wick 4. Yeah.
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 Maybe we should have Keanu Reeves like, wait, did you like this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was good.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay, we should get going before we get too much into our Keanu Reeves impressions. Until next time, I am Kayla's 2022 five-star movie that eluded them this year. I don't know. You know, maybe you'll find it one day. You'll find me one day. Your five-star 2022 movie.
One day. It's going to happen. I'm still waiting. One day I'll watch a random movie from 2022 and I'll be like, yes. That is it.
That is it.
The one.
I am that random 2022 movie.
And I am the inside outtakes from the pandemic, our good friend Bo Burnham.
And until next time, we're
your secondhand
film critics.
Critic.